Reading verses 1 through 12. That begins on page 884 in the Pew Bible. Page 884, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. This is the word of the Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Last Lord's Day, we said that Jesus resting in the grave was the fulfillment of patience. And if Jesus resting in the grave was the fulfillment of patience, then we may say that his rising from the dead was the fulfillment of hope. It is the reason why sorrow turns to joy and grief to gladness. It is the reason why darkness gives way to light and nights of lamentation to shouts of laughter. It is the end of bitterness. It is the end of weeping. It is the end of pain. It is the end of loss. It is the death of death and the beginning of indestructible life. It quiets every doubt. It calms every worry. It dispels every fear. It fills our hearts with song and our mouths with praise. Words cannot express the glory of this day or the glory of the one who rose on this day. But rather than describe it, we are invited to enjoy it as he rose for us and our salvation. Luke chapter 24 begins on the first day of the week. It begins on the day of resurrection. It begins on the day of Christ. This day was the end of his suffering and the beginning of his glory. It was the end of his humiliation and the beginning of his exaltation. It was the end of this world and the beginning of another. It was not coincidence that he should rest in the grave on the Sabbath day. And it was not coincidence that he should rise on the first day. For just as 1 week of time is patterned after the week of creation, so the first day of the week is patterned after the first day of creation. That day on which God said, "Let there be light." And the darkness did not overcome it. Christ's rising from the dead on the first day of the week marks the first day of a new world. It is the first day of new creation. This is why Paul may write 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. It is not merely because in Christ he is now different than he was. It is because in Christ he belongs to a different order. He belongs to a different age. He belongs to a different world. With the resurrection of Christ from the dead, the new creation has begun. For Christ in our likeness now dwells in that world that is to come. He has died to this world and been raised to another. Now that Christ has been raised from the dead, nothing is the same. Now that Christ has been raised from the dead, everything is changed. The difference before and after Christ's resurrection from the dead is the difference before and after the creation of the world. This day marks a new day. This day marks a new world. This day no longer belongs to us. This day belongs to him. It is the day of his victory. It is the day of his triumph. And as we are united to him, as we belong to him, it is the day of our victory in him. It is the day of our triumph in him. It is why we sing on this day. It is why we laugh on this day. It is why we rejoice on this day. It is why we let go on this day of all that does not truly matter. It is why on this day we seek him. It is why we seek his body. This is what we find in Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, we find the women who followed Jesus now seeking him, seeking his body. They seek him with the spices and ointments that they had prepared. We noted before the connection between these spices and ointments which they prepared and the description of the bridegroom in the Song of Songs. As we read in the Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 2, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you." And so we ought to see in these women, and coming to his tomb with spices and ointments, not only a desire to honor him in his death, we ought to see in them a bride seeking her bridegroom. But in verse 2, they find the stone rolled away from the tomb. And in verse 3, they do not find the body of their Lord. And this ought also to remind us of the Song of Songs. It ought to remind us of the question that is asked in Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 1. Where has your beloved gone, O most beautiful among women? Where has your beloved turned, that we may seek him with you? And in Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 2, the bride gives the answer. She responds, "My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies." In the Song of Songs, the bridegroom, the beloved, is to be found in his garden. This is one reason why in John's gospel, when the resurrected Christ first appears to Mary Magdalene, she supposes him to be the gardener. her beloved is to be found in his garden. Where has your beloved gone? Where has your beloved turned? The women of Luke 24, they do not yet know the answer. They do not yet know the answer to this question. They do not yet know what has become of him, what has become of his body. That answer must be given to them. And so it is announced to them. It is announced to them by angels. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. This is the fulfillment of hope, that the bridegroom they sought was not dead, but alive. He was no longer to be found in the grave, but in the garden of new creation. And this word which the angels proclaimed, it was not a new word, but one that had already been spoken, one that had been foretold by Jesus himself. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And the women remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They remembered his words and no longer sought him among the dead. Yet when they told these things to the apostles did not believe them. They thought it an idle tale. And even after Peter had risen and run to the tomb, even after he saw that his body was no longer there, he marveled but did not understand. They heard these words. They thought it an idle tale. And even to this day, the report of these women is thought by many to be just that, an idle tale. A tale that we tell ourselves to find comfort in the midst of grief, or strength in the midst of hardship, or meaning in the midst of chaos. And it does bring comfort to those who grieve. It does give strength to those who suffer. It does bring light to those who dwell in darkness. But not because it is an idle tale, because it is the truth. The report of these women revealed to them by angels, spoken beforehand by Christ, announced by the prophets from long ago. It is no idle tale. It is the gospel of God. If we would understand what happened on that day, on that first day of the week, we must interpret it according to the words of Jesus and not our own. It happened just as he said it would. It was necessary that he be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he might save us from our sin. It was necessary that he be crucified, that for us he might satisfy the wrath of God. It was necessary that he be buried, that we might be united to him in his death. And it was necessary that he be raised, that we might be united to him in his life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it is not an idle tale, but glad tidings. It is good news. It is the fulfillment of our salvation. It is the fullness of every hope. It is the only reason why we are gathered together here on this first day of the week. Because you have remembered his words. And so you seek him where he is to be found. You have gathered here to seek the body of Jesus. And so you have not gathered to his grave, for he is no longer dead, but alive. Here we do not gather to his grave. Here we come to his garden. When we considered the burial of Jesus, we said that the church in this world is the body of Christ in the grave. While this is true, it is not all that is true. For though the church is in this world, it is not only in this world. Even as this day on which we are gathered is not only the first day of this week, but the first day of new creation. As we are gathered here, we dwell in a different time. As we are gathered here, we dwell in a different world. We come to where his body may be found. We come to the heavenly places. We come to the heavenly Zion. We come to the heavenly garden. Is this not why the church is called the vineyard of the Lord? Here we do not find a Savior who is dead, but one who died. Here we do not find a Savior who is dead, but one who is living, who says to you, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." But though we may find him here, though he meets us here, though he greets us here, yet we do not see him here. We do not see him with our eyes. If we would see him, we must behold him by faith. By faith in his word. That word is no idle tale, for he speaks no empty words. If you seek the body of Jesus, you must seek it where it may be found, no longer in the grave, but in his garden. If you seek the body of Jesus, you must seek it in the church, for the church is his body. The church is his bride. At the end of the Song of Songs, the bridegroom speaks once more to his bride. O you who dwell in the gardens, with companions listening for your voice, let me hear it. And then the bride responds once more. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. And so it is that gathered here as the bride of Christ, we dwell in his garden. And those around us, they listen to our voice. They listen as the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. But though we here dwell in the garden of Christ, though we here dwell in his garden, the garden of one who is living, yet we seek him still, for still we do not yet see him, but we do hear him. We hear him calling to us. And what does he call? The bridegroom calls to us. Let me hear your voice. The resurrected Christ calls to us. Let me hear your voice. And so as his bride, we respond. Make haste, my beloved. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. He is coming soon. Let him hear your voice. Amen. Let us pray.